Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions continues. I am Lorenzo with Throwing It Down with a Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart, Carmine Bianco will step up and in from Wager Talk. We'll get into the MLS is back doubleheader that's on the card this evening. TFC and the Montreal Impact, an all-Canadian matchup. And then we got the Columbus Crew and the New York Red Bulls, which should actually be a pretty good match. Two solid teams. And I think the Columbus Crew are actually a sleeper. Somewhat of a dark horse.
I agree.
Not really a dark horse, but very good odds for the Columbus Crew. They were like 22-1 coming in. They used to be a mainstay in this league, but they're playing good soccer right now. And I know a lot of people, like I said, they were kind of a trendy pick as if you're looking for teams in the 20 to plus one range. So Zion Williamson has to leave the bubble in Orlando to deal with a family emergency. We don't know what that emergency is. Doc Rivers says that he's been calling the snitch hotline in the bubble. He said, I just turned LeBron in. He goes, I'm going to turn Popovich in. We're going to be the only team left when I'm done with this hotline thing. But, yeah, the bubble life continues. And Zion was suffering from leg cramps earlier in the week as well. And I don't know. Listen, we don't know what his family emergency is. There's no need to really, like, overreact about it. The NBA season starts 2 weeks from tonight, actually. 14 days from now. Next Thursday is Major League Baseball. The following Thursday is the start of the NBA. So Zion's got 2 weeks to get back. But one thing with Zion I'd be concerned about just is him staying healthy. He got injured at Duke. He got injured in the NBA Summer League. He's all ripped right now. And he's going to be playing at 100% because he's trying to get his team into the playoffs as a rookie. And it's amazing the irony that the NBA created all this play-in tournament for him, essentially. And now he might not be there for but now he will be.
It's an excellent
point. But it's something to keep your eye on for Pelican futures right now, that he's not in the bubble, that the fact that he's left the bubble, because people love them some Pelicans going into this thing.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, Gabe. You see the shots of the couple guys, too. They were shotgunning beers in, like, a Mr. Turtle pool. So, I don't know. Quarantine seems pretty interesting and fun for these guys. But you're right. Remember when Pete Annapolis came on the show and he talked about the Zion Williamson situation there with the handler and all that other stuff? That story hasn't come to fruition yet. But I don't know what the family emergency is. But he's still got a quarantine when he comes back. I don't think it's a panic mode for those guys. As you said, there's still time, but that's time that he's not going to be working with his team. And they basically have to play flawless basketball, right? So we'll see. You know, I'm still very high on the Pelicans. It's just not great news.
Well, a lot of other teams, the thing with the NBA, and this is, I love the NBA and I'm excited. I'm glad they're coming back. But at the same point in time, I'm not overvaluing the stock and the importance of these games. Right? Like the playoffs don't start until mid-August. And so basically, we're looking at September and October, guys, in which, like, you know, we're into the second round of the NBA playoffs, which is, that's a ways away right now.
It is.
Like, it's a long process. That's why, you know, I'm not going to be jumping in going crazy, although I say that all the time. I said that about the MLS.
You do.
That I do jump in and go crazy. But I'm going to try not to get too stupid with the early games. Knowing they don't really mean anything, right? Like everyone, Zion's out of the bubble. It's like, whatever. He's got 2 weeks, guys, before they're even playing a game. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But the Pelicans do need to win these early games. Game time decisions radio continues. I'm Arezzo, throwing it down to Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. Carmine Bianco will join us a little bit later on. We'll get into the MLS doubleheader this evening. We'll get you up to date as far as the Memorial odds are concerned. There's been a lot of news about the Washington football team and a bombshell and a blockbuster. And, ooh, Snyder's going to have to sell the team when it's all said and done. But like a lot of things in the media that are heavily hyped up, there's allegations, you know, sexual, verbal abuse and sexual harassment in the workplace. Yeah. It's not the Jeffrey Epstein over the top, you know, hookers and cocaine and stolen passports and cheerleaders against their will and all this type of stuff that was thrown out there. As I stated, we'll see if there's more to come. So the Edmonton Eskimos have followed the Washington football team's lead. They've changed their name to the Edmonton Empire. Edmonton Empire. They have a double E on their helmet as it is, so they don't have to change anything. There's a massive outrage right now. People want to boycott the sponsors that started all of this. Evidently, Boston Pizza, the franchise Boston Pizza, told the Eskimos Correct. They were going to pull their money. And now I'm seeing all these people, I'd never go to an Eskimo game ever again. Well, you can't because they're not called the Eskimos anymore, jackass. So, yeah, it's true. You never will.
Empire.
Yeah. But the Eskimos get like 24,000 people a game. All right. Too bad all you losers crying on Twitter right now about this didn't actually go, you know, don't actually go to the games. Right? Like if all you people that were crying about the name right now actually went to the games, there'd be like 70,000 people, 100,000 people at every game. I don't care. Change your name. Like I said, if you're a grown man, you're an adult. Like you really should have other things to be worried about in your life than what a football team's name is.
Yes. I do prefer Elks over Empire, though. Edmonton Empire sounds like an insurance firm. Elk is a beautiful Elks. Northern animal. Yeah, it sounds
great. It's
a great
name. It's very classy sounding, and it's very unique. But they went with Empire.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game time decision continues. I'm Lorenzo. We're throwing it down to Raging Redhead Camp Stewart as the countdown to kickoff is on. We've got a couple of MLS games on the board this evening. And finally, we had an under this morning. And I did not expect Atlanta United to get shut out by lowly FC Cincinnati, which I think you might be able to argue that this is Cincinnati's biggest win in franchise history that they beat Atlanta in this tournament today. Now, last night, you know, we've talked about this, Cam, and it's been a crazy tournament. It really has been. It's fun to watch if you don't, if you're winning, but if you're on, I'm just seem to be on the wrong side of the insanity all the time, but it is wacky. It is like, it's an insane, like just all over the place tournament. Yet we get these games tonight. Now we've talked about with the pandemic and the 60 game season with baseball, expect crazy things to happen. And we're seeing crazy things happen in this MLS tournament. That's why last night, part of me wanted to be bold and take Vancouver to win the match outright. I was like, you know what? The Whitecaps are terrible, but no one believes in them. They're going to surprise everybody tonight. And they got a two-goal lead twice, but they were that bad that they couldn't hang on to it.
It's unbelievable.
I took a draw. And then I got screwed late. I'm still upset at myself about it. But anyways, it is what it is. So leading into tonight, part of me wants to be contrarian again and say, you know what, the Montreal Impact were terrible. And dude, they had two shots on goal in that first game only.
Yeah.
I want to say that they're going to come back and be better tonight, but I like TFC, so it means take the Impact. But TFC should win this game tonight.
I agree, Gabe. I think it'll be TFC win or draw at worst. The thing is, we have to be careful with these teams like Montreal that are trying new formations. Like Thierry Henry, when he was coaching the team, he, you know what I mean? He looked very frustrated. They didn't do the things that he said. They looked convoluted out there. And you said they actually had no pressure in the game. Like in the shots, never a threat, Gabe, till the last shot that we thought we were going to get the draw on. Remember where the goalie made the diving save and we thought we were going to actually win the bet on the draw. But Montreal's not very good. Toronto's better. I think they're going to be probably angry since DC United came back against them too, when Toronto blew that two-goal lead, and DC United did it with minimal men too. They were down to their 10 men, and they scored that goal. That's heartbreaking, but I think TFC understands they're the better team. It's a rivalry. They should win. At worst, draw, but I'm with you on TFC here. I'm not sure about the total. I don't think Montreal's going to score, but... You know, I don't know, 2-0. Like, I think that seems right to me, but I like Cincinnati today because Atlanta looks listless. Like, they don't even look like they're trying.
You had Cincinnati today?
Yeah. No, I actually like tweeted it out. I'm taking Cincinnati live. Like, yeah, I took Cincinnati live. I was watching the game.
What did
I didn't like what I saw from Atlanta. Plus, it was a tie, plus 280 only.
Ooh.
It was a lower number. Yeah.
I don't know. So you're, like I said, you're picking winners in this. You're enjoying this tournament. I don't know what you're crying about.
I'm not crying about anything, Marenzi, but I'm just saying this. Like, here's the thing that I've noticed, and let's apply this maybe to the NBA. We don't know what's going to happen in this tournament. Who are hot teams? Atlanta was one of the best teams in the league. They don't want to be there. And like, it's their body language, Gabe. It's like they're not playing the same way. They used to be a dominant team. Like, they quit against Cincinnati. NYCFC, what the hell's going on with that club? They're supposed to be good. They've been horrible. So all this hype machine and good teams, it's weird. Orlando City's looking better. Some of these bad clubs are actually using this as an opportunity. I think the NBA could be very similar, where a lot of dogs can win. I'd be very careful betting the favorites.
Now, we're trying to find TFC starting lineup just kind of due to the fact that it's profitable to bet on goal scorers in soccer. It's nice. Like the other night I hit that in the LAFC game. I'm looking forward to seeing Carmine what he says about this. I was thinking about Akinola tonight for TFC to score. Yet I don't know. Like I said, it looks like Jose Altidore is gonna be back, but I don't know how many minutes he's gonna play. And it's very, very difficult. I'm trying to get the lineups right now just for our props. This tournament is just, it's killed me. It really has. Every game is just so tough. And I always find Montreal and TFC games to be really tough. They played twice last year. Toronto won 2-1 and 2-0. Montreal did beat them, I think, in that, in the Champions Cup or whatever the hell they play, you know, not in the other one. Montreal did beat them. Toronto has gotten the best of them, though, for the most part. And as you stated, Toronto are just a much better team. They're going to be in a bad mood after blowing the 2-0 lead. They're going to tighten things up a little bit. But Thierry Henry was pissed. You're going to get the best effort tonight from the Impact. And I don't know. Word is they're going all offense. They're putting, like, every offensive guy they have up front to try to create some more chances. Could backfire on them. And the totals.
I don't know. Like, that was the counterattack.
Like, I'm helpless. Like, I'm trying to read, like, a Chinese phone book right now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, Montreal can't score, but I'm not ready to bet on an under. I'll tell you that much.
I will say this. Betting these totals, that's something I would avoid more than the side. Because that's the thing. Montreal can't score, but if they're going to play an attacking style, Gabe, that sets up the counterattack. And you saw that's how the Philadelphia Union won their game. It was a beautiful counterattack, and they got things done, right, when you get pressed up there. I will say this. I would expect more scoring in the Columbus game because I think both of those teams are proficient. They have better offenses, and I really like what I saw. Like, Columbus murdered Cincinnati FC, and I watched both of those games, and Cincinnati FC, like, they try. The one thing is, they might not be as talented, but they try. Columbus is a damn good team, and they could have won that game like 8-0. They had major opportunities. I'm down with the Crew, Gabe. I agree. I think they're a very dangerous team in this tournament.
All right, so we'll get back into the soccer in a couple of minutes with Carmine. See what Carmine says. So let's check in right now with the Memorial. As we stated, Steele was at the top of the leaderboard earlier in the day, and then Tony Finau ends up 6 under when it's all said and done. So we were talking about who would the first round leader be? Tony yep. Finau, man, what was that like? What did he pay for first round leader? 60 to 1, 7 to 1,
60 to 1. Yeah, no, it's funny, isn't that hilarious? Because I had Tony Finau the other time first round leader. It's the way it works, Gabe. We're always like day late, dollars short. I had Tony Finau the other week. He's starting to play better. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't take him to win the tournament, though. Watching this guy put 4 rounds together, his putter can get really bad. This is how you attack this tournament. Justin Thomas is 2 over, okay? That's not even bad. See some of the scores that were out there today? So the leader's at 6. He's 2. He's 8 shots back, and now he's 40 to 1. At the start of the tournament, he was 12 to 1. That's how you look at it. Good call. Lucas Glover, Gabe, for the top 20. He played very good golf today and missed a couple putts. Lucas Glover, the top 20. I really like what we're doing with that.
That's plus 550. I told you,
I like that. I hope you win that bet because I think Lucas Glover, he's steady. And remember, this course is playing like a major, so Lucas Glover's won a major before. He has the type of game to grind out pars. His ball striking's impeccable. His putter, it's like a lot of these guys. Like, that's the thing. They're just... It's hard to bring your whole game together. I'd be very, very careful. That's a guy that I look at for a top 20. Who else do we look at? Maybe going dipping down the board. I'd look at a Justin Thomas. I think that's a very, very good pick. And I would go with Brooks Koepka's 33 to 1. He started off, he missed two, he was out of bounds twice, Gabe. You're getting him at 33 now. He's even. That's the thing that people aren't realizing. Even's a good score on this course today, right? So those are guys I'd look at. World-class players that you're getting better odds at. 33 to 1 for Koepka, 40 for Justin Thomas. I think that's impeccable. I already have an Abraham answer, but he's dangerous. Yep.
A guy that I liked him. I didn't throw his name out there. I'm not surprised he had a good round today. Is Gary Woodland.
So yeah, Gary's good.
Gary Woodland's T3 right now. And you know what? There's Jordan Spieth right now. T8, 2 under. What do you make of Spieth's game? He's right there with your boy Max Homa. Nice start for Max Homa as well.
Yeah, Homa's doing and well.
You're talking buddy, about Harris English isn't throwing a long shot. Yeah. Harris English is right there too. T18.
Take a look at John Rahm. He played great today and missed a couple short putts. So some of the team's doing pretty good. So, yeah, I'm with you, buddy. I'm going to tell you about Jordan Spieth, though, Gabe. Don't hit the button. He can't pull it together for a whole week.
No, I know. He'll go backwards.
That's just
one thing with Spieth. Yeah, he really does seem to play well on Thursdays, though. He seems to be a pattern with him this year. Play starts off well, and then he sort of regresses. Game time decision continues.
Bagels and bad beats. Never being a Camp fan, but I will tell you, the officials never gave him the benefit of the doubt. He would get crushed, and there wouldn't be any penalty flags for late hits. So, you know, welcome to the real world Patriots from that standpoint.
The Sports Grid Network.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're watching Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
I'm Cam Suri, your Sports Grid News and Betting Update. You want the edge, get on the grid. According to Houston Texans defensive end J.J. Watt, players have a lot of unanswered questions about COVID-19 protocols and guidelines as talks between the NFL and NFLPA continue with training camps fast approaching. The party's latest hurdle is a big one about classifying COVID-19 as a non-football injury. Teams currently aren't required to pay players based on non-football injuries. They want to change that. Houston and Kansas City rookies slated to report to camp Saturday, January 18th. This weekend, regular season still slated for September 10th. The Players Association announced 72 players known to have tested for positive for COVID-19. 2,800 tests of all 30 teams, maxing out the 90-man rosters, meaning 72 tests divided. It's 2.5% of the NFL's workforce with COVID-19. The NFL said it still intends on holding that full season in front of fans despite the pandemic. Big stories out of Washington. The Washington Post preparing to release a story about the team's culture. There's much more going on at Redskins Park than a name change. Just from Scott Abraham of ABC News, and apparently this story is going to be a bombshell. We already have 15 women alleging sexual harassment by members of the Washington's franchise. The team has hired attorney Beth Wilson to review the organization's protocols. She's a very, very big lawyer in the lawsuit versus the Sunday TV package, as well as NCAA and MLB class action suits. New Orleans Pelicans star Zion Williamson leaving the bubble to attend an urgent family matter. He intends to join the club at a later date. Upon his return, he's subject to a mandatory 4-day quarantine period. He also must test negative for COVID-19. Each day is outside the property before granted access back into the bubble. New Orleans takes on Utah July 30th. The NCAA setting a universal standard for testing players in football, including requiring college players who test positive to miss at least 10 days of competition. Baseball news. The Washington Nationals exploring alternative sites due to the D.C. quarantine laws. Philly shortstop Didi Gregorius will wear a face mask during games this season. He has a kidney condition, making him a high-risk player. Round one of the PGA's Memorial for Muirfield Village in Dublin, Ohio. We talked about it. And Tony Finau, the outright leader now, -6. He is in the clubhouse. Tiger Woods, too, rallying a very good start to return to action. He's -1, just 5 shots off the pace. Tournament favorite Bryson DeChambeau, 1 over. Euro Tour, Juice Lauten leads at 12 under. MLS back to action. FC Cincinnati upsetting Atlanta later tonight. All-Canadian battle as Toronto takes on Montreal at 8. Then at 10:30, we have Columbus taking on the New York Red Bulls. We'll talk to these games and get the betting odds and make our picks in the show. Manchester United, they get things done today. And the big news is in Spain. Real Madrid won their 34th La Liga title thanks to a 2-1 win over Villarreal. Barcelona was the champions. I'm Cam Stewart. That's your Sports Grid update. Now back to Gabe Morency on GTD.
Game time decisions continues following the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart's update. And come on, Cam, your updates are supposed to be up to date. Where was the TFC starting lineup? This news broke 3 minutes ago. Hot. 3 minutes ago.
Hot off the presses.
Yeah, hot off the wire. So, and you know what? I'm glad, though, because we were just discussing this. It's paramount because I want to bet some of the goal-scoring props. And, yeah. You know, I didn't think Altidore I didn't think he was playing. But now we can confirm the starting lineup. Let's bring in Carmine right now. Carmine Bianco has been killing the soccer and the MLS. And listen, anyone's doing better than I am. I need your help, Carmine. So please help me. Thank you for joining me. Help me.
I'm good, guys. Hopefully everything's going well. Yeah, I'm sporting as a season ticket holder, I'm sporting the Toronto FC one for tonight. Hopefully it's a much better game than that last one on Monday where I think I needed a new remote and trying to find out where Greg Vanney lives, because if I could hunt that guy down, I don't know what he was thinking on Monday, but he took out our two best defenders in Gonzalez and Mavinga in the 65th minute. and brought in our two worst defenders in Simeon and Zavaleta, who happens to be his nephew, and I'm not sure how he's on that team. And we blew a 2-0 lead, and we're up a man. That was just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, and you know, what the hell was that? Was some that wasn't the best goaltending either, and net keeping there. Goalie comes out, gets caught in nowhere's land. You know, ball gets just pooched over his head like that. The whole thing was a train wreck and a disaster. But nice to see, Cam. We're getting a nice, unbiased opinion of the game here tonight from a guy checked out of TFC gear right now.
I'm coming right back with Akinola, just to let you know. Right, the guy looked great last time out. I figured Altidore wouldn't play, so I took these odds earlier. It's I think you can still get him at +210 to score anytime. And, you know, this is one of those games that, you know, Montreal hasn't looked great. They didn't look great in that first game. Toronto, if they could replicate that first 65 to 70 minutes, but play for 90 minutes, should win this game. But, you know, this is the 4-1 rivalry. Sometimes, you know, with these rivalries, it brings out the best in teams. And Montreal's going to bring it tonight. These two teams have an utter disdain for each other, much like Leafs and Canadiens fans have for each other, and it's just the way it is. We're going to see a good game tonight, but at the end,
he hates me, Karma. Yeah. Screw the Habs, Morenci.
Yeah, Pharrell thinks I'm a Leaf fan. He goes, demise. The Leafs haven't won. I'm like, I'm not a Leaf fan, Scotty. I'm not a Leaf fan.
I know. I told him, I go, the Penguins blow. He got pretty upset. But anyway, that's...
All right, but you know what, Carmine? It's a good point. I'm glad you bring up Akinola here, because I already liked him as well. I didn't think Altidore was playing. And, you know, they leave these names up. And listen, you get your money back, right? Because if player doesn't play, player doesn't start, et cetera, bet is void, depending on the book. But +210, and guys, we throw this out here right now. The starting lineup just broke 3 minutes ago, literally. So we really are giving you hot news right now. People don't know the lineup. Now we do. Altidore is not even in uniform, Carmine. So he's not coming in as a sub. He's not even in uniform.
And that's a surprise. Like I could understand him not being in that first game. It was a 9 a.m. game in that heat. And, you know, someone who has... thigh, you know, who's had problems with his, you know, thigh and hamstring injuries as he has. The last thing you want to do is get him out there in that sweltering heat playing, you know, 65 to 70 minutes. So he was on the bench if needed to be brought in and ready. So him not being, not playing tonight when the weather is much better, goes to show you that there might be something that's that worse than we really know about it, because he should be on the bench and he's not. So that is another surprise. I can't believe Zavaleta's on the bench. I'm going to harp on that for a while. But Akinola, +210. Listen, if you get the service, and he's going to get the service from, you know, you look at this team, and when you got guys like Pozuelo, who I always say, if you have the best player on the field, you always have, you're always at an advantage to win. Pozuelo's the best guy on the field for both teams. And he'll get it to Akinola. So +210 is a great price.
No, it is. So what about Montreal? You brought it up, Carmine, and you're right. Anyone that watches this, and it's sports, guys. Rivalries bring out the best, and especially soccer rivalries. We saw San Jose and Seattle. They hate each other. And it was a battle, man. I've watched every game. And, Ken, that game was the most where they kept beeping everything. Like, they were swearing like crazy. And I noticed a pattern, though. The San Jose Earthquakes, that's what they do. There was a near fight last night. That was no accident. Yeah. See, they hit the guy in the face with the ball.
Yeah.
Like, they hit the guy in the white caps in the head with a ball. And they're like, sorry. It's like, dude, you flipped it on purpose. What do you mean, sorry? And I realized that after. I'm like, you know, I thought it was just the Earthquakes didn't like the Sounders. Then I saw last night the white caps. These West Coast teams out here, Carmine, they really don't like each other. People don't realize it. Like Vancouver, San Jose, Seattle. Like, it's real. They don't like each other.
Yeah, and we're going to see one on the weekend where, you know, with the El Tráfico, you know, the LA Galaxy and LAFC. But, you know, San Diego plays that game, and they played all last season under their, like, their new manager. They played what is called, they literally play a man-to-man press. So if you see it, and they'll, you know, with the game's being played, and we've got drones at these games showing the top of the field. If you watch it, every single time a guy has a ball, there's a San Diego guy on him, and he's not only on him, but if the guy gets around him, he's getting a shin on him. Like they play, it's a dirty game, but it worked for them last year until it didn't work at the end of the year.
San Jose. Now I'm thinking San Diego.
Yeah, sorry. San Jose. San Jose.
Okay, San Jose. Thank you. Yeah.
Earthquake.
All right. So this game tonight. So I am pulling the trigger on Akinola to score. I'm taking him to score. But what about the game itself? Listen, we talked about the rivalries. The Impact were terrible in the first game. They had two shots on goal. They nearly did score late. Tabla nearly put one in late, but it was too little too late. Terry Henry's definitely got to shake things up a little bit, but they just don't have a ton of talent, Carmine. That's the thing. You can shake things up. They just don't have a ton of talent up front. Are they going to be able to bury one? What do you think about the over-under here? What do you think the final score is going to be? Like, what are you looking at here tonight?
I'm taking 2-1. Again, putting bias aside, Toronto needs to win this game. And if they learned anything from that last game, it's to play a complete 90 minutes this time out. But if you're looking at exact scores, 2-1 isn't a bad score for Toronto. 2-1 pays plus 750. So you're getting 7.5 to 1 on your money for a 2-1 final. It's one of those things where I expect Toronto to win, and maybe Montreal gets a late one, but there's not a lot. I haven't seen enough in their lineup, with Arati and Wanyama and Talder. I just haven't seen enough from this team, and it's going to take them a while under Henri for them to especially with this 5 months off, to fit the plan that he wants for this team moving forward. So this is one of those things where maybe this team gets better later in the season, should we have one. But right now, they don't look like a team that's ready to compete for a playoff spot in my eyes.
Cam, what's your feel? You've been on top of these things with your gut. What are you saying, Alexi Lawless?
Yeah, I'm about 120 pounds bigger, I think. But I'm with Carmine. I think TFC gets it done tonight. The question is the score, Gabe? The score that came to my head was Toronto 2, Montreal 0. Carmine's right. He could get a goal a little bit late. But right now, I don't know. I kind of lean TFC in the under. And we'll talk to him about the later game as well, which, we have an opinion on. But I'm going with TFC, Gabe.
I'm just done with these totals, man. When I bet on an under,
totals are tough.
Yeah, when I bet on an over, it's 1-0. I can't, I'm just getting really, really frustrated. Yeah.
Just pick TFC to win the damn game. Don't even mess around with
this, guys.
Right?
What about this? And, you know, I'm kicking myself with this. Last night, too, I didn't tweet it out because I was almost embarrassed. And, Karma, you bet a lot of stars, so you'll know. But, Kemp, I bet an in-game last night, in-game corner kicks, 18.5. And they were at 12 at the half, okay? And I was like, man, betting 18.5 over corner kicks is insane. Normally it'll get to 10, 11, like a standard, you know what I mean? It's getting insane. But I was like, it's not stopping. The San Jose Earthquakes finished with 22 corner kicks. All right.
Yes, they did.
I was in the first game against Seattle. I bet over 10.5. I lost the prop. San Jose had 9 corner kicks. Seattle only had 1. But I, you know, these corner kick props, I've always been a fan of this, Carmine. I like betting the corner props in a lot of leagues. And there's a lot of corners in MLS. But what about Montreal and Toronto? Little less corners, because Montreal don't really create opportunities. So at least the less corners in the corner.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. You have to look at the style of the team. Toronto's a team that generally plays through the middle. So when you have a Bradley and you have a Pozuelo, it's service to the middle. They try and build in through the middle. They're not that typical team that has, like, let's say wingbacks that are coming up and pressing from the outside, and you get crosses into the box that are cleared by defenders, you know, for corner kicks. So it's one of those things you have to look at, and that's why generally, you know, I look at a lot of Toronto games when I'm going down to BMO Field in Toronto, and the numbers are always around 9 for the Toronto games. I'm not sure what it is for tonight's game.
Hold that thought. We'll continue the conversation.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decision continues, as does the countdown to MLS kickoff. Got a couple of games on tap. I think next Thursday, game time decisions will be breaking down Major League Baseball game.
Yeah.
And in-game live actually returns next week. So in-game live basically will be with you during the games, keeping you up to date, the updated odds, and we'll give you in-game picks. So you've got Toronto and Montreal tonight. Big rivalry. As Carmine stated earlier, used to be a big hockey rivalry. They haven't really played for anything meaningful in forever. So they call it the Canadian Classic, this rivalry. We got to come up with a better name than the Canadian Classic. Yeah, that's like the name of the burger that Cam puts on his that's like that's Cam's burger, the Canadian Classic.
Yeah, the Canadian Classic from Harvey's and the Crown Royal, the Canadian Classic. You're right, Gabe. Get something original. I agree.
You know, like you got the war on I-4 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The war on I-4. Yeah, the 401 Derby. That's not bad.
Yeah.
The 401 Derby. Not the greatest. It sounds horrible.
I mean, I like that one, Cam.
It's like the Battle of the QEW's got a ring, like the Derby, 401 Derby?
Nah, no, the QEW, that goes the other direction, Cam. That's
the Hamilton. I'm saying... That's the Sabres and the Battle of the QEW sounds like a rivalry of those. The 401 Derby sounds lame. That's all.
No, that's not bad, the 401 Derby.
Carmine even said it sucked. Right, Carmine?
It does. It does. The fans should be able to come up with it because they come up with the greatest signs. Our supporters, if you ever see those guys, the ultras that are behind the net, I think the last time Montreal came when they lifted a sign that said Quebexit, you know, up sort of a play on Briex, right? So, you know, basically, you know, let's get rid of Montreal. Let's get rid of Quebec. So they come up with some great stuff. So we'll put it out to them to come up with something better because the 401 Derby just sounds absolutely horrible.
A little over the top.
Get rid of Quebec.
Now we see why it's such a big rivalry. Now you see why. Yeah, it's hard for me to pull the trigger on TFC, Cam. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Even though I know they're the better team.
Listen, guys, if you ever tried to drive to Montreal, I would go for the Formula One. And these guys, I understand we should be able to speak English and French, but I don't speak much French, but they won't give you directions. Unless you ask them in French, they don't give you directions. So that in itself makes me dislike people from that city.
That's not fully true. They just didn't give you directions.
Maybe not wear the shirt next time.
I gotta be honest, Carmine. Just plug in the address in your phone these days. You don't need a map.
Yeah, I don't know. What, Cam, you've been to Montreal a bunch of times. You ever had any problems? No.
They like me there. I'm jolly. Hey, this guy's gonna buy some beer.
Carmine, were you wearing like a Toronto Maple Leaf jersey and like a TFC like hoodie?
Definitely not, because if you know me, I am not a Leafs fan, and I literally get on all my friends about the Leafs each and every year, 52 years in or 53 years in counting.
All right, let's move on to the New York Columbus game before Carmine offends Quebec any more than he already has. here. All right, so Carmine's saying 2-1. 2-1. Awesome. Man, the rivalry's deep. Man. This guy takes it real seriously. Yeah. All right, so Carmine's saying 2-1 TFC. I'm taking TFC. Cam, you're on TFC tonight?
Yeah, 2-0. I'm on
2-0. I'm not predicting any score. I can't. I'm just going to be lucky to get a win. I am predicting Akinola scores a goal, though. We're taking it. Akinola scores all the way down to plus 170 right now at FanDuel. People jumping on this. So let's get into man, all these like acronyms and letters and stuff, Kev. It's not just the they don't call them the New York Red Bulls. It's RBNY.
RBNY.
Red Bulls New York.
At least it's better than Inter Miami. That one's the worst.
Come on, it's kind of growing on me, Inter Miami.
Come on. Really?
No,
well, it's not.
What's worse? What's worse, Inter Miami or Real Salt Lake?
Actually, get Real Salt Lake's pretty bad, too. Real Salt Lake.
They used to have a franchise called Chivas. So that was...
Yeah, I know. I remember Chivas, all right, so this game's actually a good... This one's a good one tonight. Both these teams have come in with 3 points, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. It's different with the Montreal TFC match, guys. TFC really screwed up. They played well, but they gave it away late. They only ended up getting a single point out of it. Meanwhile, Montreal don't have any points. So Montreal are desperate. TFC don't have a lot of room for error. So both of them need to win. Tonight's game, Carmine's a little bit different between the Red Bulls and the Crew tonight. And I don't know, man. The Red Bulls beat Atlanta 1-0, but they got dominated, time of possession and, you know, scoring chances. They won the match 1-0, but they weren't the better side. And then conversely, Columbus routed, you know, FC Cincinnati. But Cincinnati just beat Atlanta. So I don't know what to make of this one. Tighter match here tonight. And I'll tell you what, even though regionally you don't think Columbus and New York, but these two teams have a long history. They don't like each other either, actually. They played each other in big matches over the years. They don't like, their supporters don't like each other. And guys, I live there, all right? People don't realize how serious these people are about the Red Bulls. I had an NYFC jersey, okay? You figure, like, whatever. The Red Bulls actually play in New Jersey, guys, all right? The New York Red Bulls, they play in Newark. They play, like, basically across the street from where the Devils play. They have a nice stadium, Harrison. So it's not that far from New York City and stuff, but it's in Jersey. I was walking down the street in New Jersey, and I had a New York FC jersey on, Carmine. And a dude says to me, "You got a lot of nerve wearing that jersey in these parts." And I'm thinking, I'm wearing an NYFC jersey in, like, in Hoboken, New Jersey. I didn't think I was going to get attacked. And I thought it was just one guy. And another dude, I walk into a store, he's like, "FNYC." And not the city, but the team. Like, they hate them. Like, the Red Bulls are, they got proud-ass fans of that team. I got to tell you, like, they got murals all over the place in New Jersey and stuff. They've taken over Jersey, the Red Bulls. They should just be called the Newark Red Bulls because they have nothing to do with New York. They're all Jersey, the Red Bulls. But anyways, so, Carmine, what do you make of this match tonight?
Yeah, you know what? And it's funny. I've gone to places where I wear a visitor's jersey, and you just get it from them. Like, if I wear a Juventus jersey in Italy, in any place other than Turin, Italy, they just hound you because it's the team everyone loves to hate. It's one of those things, kind of like the Leafs. But as far as this game goes, listen, I was impressed with Columbus. They're building a very good team there, one that's going to compete for the East. Yes, I get it. They beat Cincinnati 4-0 in that rivalry. And Cincinnati's not a team that's projected to even battle for a playoff spot this year. But it's the manner in which they clicked offensively. You know, we're talking about off a almost 5-month hiatus because of this pandemic and with minimal practice. And this team just came out and absolutely clicked offensively. They looked very good. Tonight's a test because the Red Bulls usually are a very good defensive team, don't lose their shape very well. They never lose their shape often. So they're a tough team to break down. Atlanta couldn't break them down, but Atlanta's struggling right now with Joseph Martinez being injured and likely gone for the whole year. But I need to see more of this Red Bulls team. I'm not convinced on this Red Bulls team yet. You know, I mean, they struggled. You know, we're talking 4 months ago, but they struggled in their first game, winning 3-2 against Cincinnati. They went to Real Salt Lake and got they stole a point because they were absolutely dominated in that game. I think Salt Lake had 20 plus attempts on goal, and I think 10 shots on goal. They managed a point there. Tonight's a test for them because this team up front, Columbus, can score. For me, you're getting plus money with Columbus and plus 120, which looks good. I've got a different kind of prop here because I think we're going to see some goals scored. You can actually take Columbus to win and over 2.5, and the Columbus and over 2.5 is paying 225.
Wow. So you think there will be some goals in this game tonight? I don't know.
I do. I've got a couple scoring props. You know, one is unobvious because he's the guy who fuels the team is Zardes. But he's even money, plus 100 to score type. But they got a midfielder that they picked up from Mexico, from Tigres. Lucas, I always butcher these names, but I'll try it. Lucas Zelarayan. And, you know, this guy scored 20 goals over four plus years in Mexico as a midfielder, which is quite impressive. He's scored two so far in three games. He scored last time out, and he's plus 250 to score tonight. So I'm going to take him as well, too. I'm going to take the two Z's on this team and see if they can put the Red Bulls to sleep.
I like where you're going with that. Mm. I like where you're going with that. I can't wait to see the LA-LA game. That's going to be great for scoring props. We hit with the Rossi prop. Good call, Carmen. I liked it earlier in the day. I saw it, and I gave you props because I saw you tweet out. I was like, oh, I would have forgotten it, and I jumped in on it. It's like one of the few bets I've won in this tournament. I've been doing pretty well with the goal scores. You get some nice odds with them, but in that LA-LA game, bro, I don't know. There should be 5-6 goals in that game. There could be a lot of goals. Yeah. So we're going to have chances. Rossi again. Who's the other guy? What's the black guy's name, the guy up front on
Wright Phillips.
Phillips,
who they got from the Red Bulls. So
Wright Phillips is good, man. He's good.
He's another one.
He's going to get his goals this season. You know what I mean? I would project him to get somewhere between 12 to 14 goals this season playing you know, on that high-octane team that they have. And then, you know, as far as LA Galaxy go, you know, he finally got his first goal, but the guy has absolutely struggled is he goes by the name of, obviously on his jersey, Chicharito, but it's Javier Hernandez, you know, who's played for, you know, started at Real Madrid.
That guy hit the broad side of a barn, Carmine.
Yeah.
He should have four goals that game. He can't hit the broad side of a barn. Like, I've never seen a guy in his own head like that. He got a late goal, but literally, Gabe, he had like five chances and missed, like, I'm talking point blank chances. Like, that guy could have easily had multiple goals. But maybe he got off the schneid, Carmine, because he got a late one, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's what I'm thinking. Like his, if you look at his X goal, which, you know, there's a lot of data companies out there. His X goal was projected, I think, close to 2.6, 2.7, which means he should have scored close to three goals in that game. He had a penalty. He misses a penalty. And, you know, from there, I think he hit the crossbar. He put two of them by the right post when he was, as Cam says, he was just clear in front of the net where all he's got to do is just tuck it in. You know, something got into his head, and you know, he did score one late in a losing cause, but maybe that sometimes that one goal is what fuels you.
Carmine Bianco, wagertalk.com. You can follow him on Twitter, as you see. Carmine WT, great stuff, great insight, Carmine. Before we get you out of here, we got less than a minute left. Who do you think wins this tournament? I actually picked TFC before the tournament started at 14-1.
That's you got a good price. I got them at 12-1. Once these games are done tonight, they'll put the odds up again because I don't have them right now. But if Columbus comes up with another fine performance tonight, they're a team that I'm going to lean to. There aren't, you know, LAFC is still the team, even with Carlos Vela at home in California with his wife who's expecting. He's not playing in this tournament. They're still loaded for bear on that team.
Thanks for your time.
Pharrell.
Coast to coast!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're in the two-minute warning here right now. So, as we stated earlier, my shoe-in. My shoe-in.
The night.
Not just the night of the week. It's the shoe-in of the month, actually. And you know what? Under Armour should thank me for this, because I did the shoe-in earlier in the show, and I had people saying, damn, that's a nice shoe. What's the model? I want to get it. So, for the record, it's the Under Armour Hover.
Hover.
Yeah, we hover. It's like, instead of walking, you're hovering on air, Cam. Yep, believe hover. It or not, I'm hovering on air. All right, so tonight's game, if you want to win, do whatever it is that I am not doing. Like basically, I think TFC wins. So in other words, it's probably 4-0 Montreal, but whatever. I'm taking TFC to win the match, and I've got Akinola to score. Guys, he scored both goals in the first match that they played. They don't have it. Like, he's their guy. And Montreal will give up a goal or two. I do believe Akinola can score. The number is plummeting ever since the starting lineup has come out, but you can still get in on it right now. Akinola to score. And one of these times, I'm going to hit one of these son of a bitches. Pardon my language, but I'm getting frustrated. I'm taking the draw. Columbus, New York draw. Although I kind of think Columbus can win. I got a feeling it's a draw. 1-1. 1-1.
Yeah, I'm taking TFC. I'm with you, Gabe. I'll lay the juice with them. As for the total of 3, I like the under. I don't think the Impact are going to score in this game. I looked at the draw as well, and I agree with you. It could be. It's draw or Columbus, but I think Columbus can squeak out a 2-1 win. So give me Columbus, give me TFC, and give me the TFC under 3, buddy. Good luck to us.
Yeah, you know what? This Columbus game tonight, we're going to be on in the late night hours tonight, guys, Sports Rage late night. But this Columbus game seems like one of those games, Ken. Columbus or draw, right? Get a piece of Columbus and the draw. I think Columbus are good. I think Columbus, look, you heard Carmine say this. Columbus can win all of this as well.
I agree.
They were like 23-1 before the tournament started. When the odds get refreshed, I'm going to jump in because they're a trendy team right now. Made a winner's
bagels
the horse.
Bad beats. Never being a camp fan, but I will tell you, the officials never gave him the benefit of the doubt. He would get crushed and there wouldn't be any penalty flags for late hits. So, you know, welcome to the real world Patriots from that standpoint.
The Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.